Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Southern Cross is back on air today, and I am joined in studio by AUT Pacific Media Centre's Rahul Bhattarai.
Yes.
And the and director, Professor David Robbie, about the centre's news stories and issues being covered.
Right.
Yeah. So first we'll start with you, Rahul. The PMC's Asia Pacific report has quite a lot of coverage of the Freedom Flotilla over the last few days, as it was nearing Gaza with a New Zealander on board. Now, the Israeli Navy have intercepted the flotilla, and there has been a dramatic plea for help by Mike Treen, who is on board the Al-Awada. Tell us about what is happening.
All right, so basically this Mike Treen is the National Director of the United Union, and he's on board. He joined the Freedom Flotilla on its last leg from Sicily, Italy, to Gaza. So basically what happened is they're on this voyage to block the 12-year-old Israeli blockade to Gaza, okay? Mm. And now there are 23 people from 16 different countries on that boat. Now,
wow.
Israel have sort of towed their boat and have not allowed them to go to Gaza on the international waters. And now Mike Treen has urged Mr. Winston Peters, as he's the Minister of Foreign Affairs, to make sure that $15,000 worth of aid that they have carried on their boat reaches the people of Gaza. Basically that's what's been happening. And also they have written an open letter to the Acting Prime Minister's office.
Wow.
To ensure the safety and well-being of all those on board.
And are they expecting a result from that? Do you know?
Well, I mean, the Prime Minister's office have not responded back to the letters.
Oh, wow.
They've actually sent a couple right now, and they have not responded back at all.
Are they expecting any response, or are they sort of going with there won't be any?
Well, we're hoping to get
hopefully
some response, but they have not. That's the problem, see?
Annoying. Anyway, I interrupted you.
And the second point they want is that for New Zealand to act and in the inhuman blockade of the Gaza Strip. So they want to talk to Israeli counterpart to make sure that happens as well, which I don't think they're going to talk about it yet. We have not heard anything from the office.
Mm.
And also immediately released Al-Wada, the return, and its crew and the passengers unharmed. There are Mike Treen and his fellow passengers who have been kidnapped by the Israeli Defense Force.
Yes.
And
is that the way they're describing it? Kidnapped, not taken
hijacked,
hostage?
Hijacked, actually. That's the term
hijacked?
They use. Hijacked, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And also allow the 2018 Freedom Flotilla and its medical cargo safe and unhindered to the destination, the port of Gaza. So that's the...
Wonderful. That's a great summary. So should we move on to the next one?
Yeah.
So there have been a couple of interesting Pacific airport stories in the last couple of days. An Air Vanuatu flight made an emergency landing and crashed into at least two other commercial aircraft, but nobody was hurt. Could you expand on what went down?
So basically the plane belonging to, the Air Vanuatu, I think 20 minutes after taking off, one of the engines blew off. And they had to make an emergency landing. So while making an emergency landing, there were 39 people on board. None of them were injured or harmed.
Mm.
However, they did get an emergency medical relief sort of support the moment they landed. And there are two other planes. One of the Unity Airlines plane was written off when the Vanuatu Airlines landed. I think they had a little bit of a crash there.
Yeah, and there was nobody in the other planes?
I don't think there were anybody on the other planes. And they are still investigating the issue as to why and how this all happened.
Is it anything, do they know whether it's something that happens regularly? Is it something that's sort of, or is it sort of a shock surprise?
Not too sure at the moment, but I think they do have quite a bit of history of being underfunded.
Oh, yes.
And the planes, they may not be on the best shape that they should have been. I'm not too sure about that.
No, all good. Do you know whether they had any, what were the, do you know about the procedures that were in place to deal with this sort of issue or not?
I'm not too sure, but they said that the moment they landed, they got a medical assistance.
So they
knew what was going on, and
absolutely.
They were aware of the,
awesome.
They were prepared.
Perfect.
Cool.
And so also in Papua New Guinea, landowners are threatening to close the Como airfield in Hela province, which services the huge Hides gas pipeline development. What is this?
Okay, so basically, the airport has been closed off for 7 weeks. Mm. We're hoping that they don't permanently close it off, because that is the second most busy airport in that part, that region. So what has happened there is, I think the government is taking the petrol. The petrol line is going through the lands of the people. And it's all about the royalties. There's a huge sum of money involved. The government has not paid the royalty to the people. It's been going on for quite some time now. And people are very frustrated. Mm. And this is their way of... So there was a peaceful protest as well a few days ago, I think. And however, this is the way they're dealing with. If the government aren't going to cooperate with them or pay them the rent or the... royalty, they are threatening the government to shut off the airport. That's the story here. Yeah.
And it's a peaceful process, you said.
So far, it has been very peaceful, yes.
Yes. Do they know whether it's potentially could amount to something other than peaceful protests or not?
Well, I mean, it all depends. We cannot...
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't want to forecast that.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Cool. So, now, David, I hear, this is a topic close to your heart, New Caledonian independence from France. The PMC has a seminar this week on the topic and has published a series of 3 articles on the Asia Pacific Report. What's happening?
Yeah, well, there's a referendum coming up on November the 4th this year, and so this is 30 years since the big struggles that have been going on for independence, and the Kanak movement, independence movement, boycotted elections way back in 1984 and so on, and that led to a number of assassinations of political leaders, and then there's the cave massacre of young student militants who'd taken gendarmes hostage and so on. So 30 years on, this is the culmination of it all.
Yeah.
I guess my interest was that I was actually reported back there in the
1930s
and many of these assassinations and so on, and wrote a book about it. But we've had Lee Duffield, who's a journalist and media academic, who's just been over in Noumea, and he's talked to a wide range of people there, Kanak leaders, Kanak young people, and also French Caldoche, as they're known, basically getting a sense of what's going to happen. Well, the feeling is that the vote will go no, which is going to mean a very frustrated, especially young people, the young Kanaks will not be very happy about that at all.
Mm.
So we're going to watch this space, you know. And one of the extraordinary things is, like, this is the closest place in the Pacific to New Zealand. You know, less than 3-hour flight away. It's closer than Tonga and so on. And yet, there's nothing in the media here about it. And yet,
the repercussions
for the region are going to be enormous.
Well, that's very interesting. So, finally, the PMC has just published the latest edition of the Pacific Journalism Review on climate change and disasters. We've just talked a little bit about climate change with James Shaw, so can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yes, well, we did a special edition last year devoted entirely to climate change, and so this one's a follow-up.
Yes.
But particularly around the disasters like Cyclone Winston in Fiji back in 2016, the worst storm in the South Pacific. And we did a collaboration with the University of South Pacific and also Universitas Gajah Madar in Indonesia, where they've had a major research project around a city called Semarang, where a third of the population are living in areas that are basically submerged for a lot of, you know, the houses themselves. Twice a day, the tide comes in and sort of floods the inside of the houses.
Really?
So this journal is sort of a culmination of research that's been going on for the last year or so, and some very groundbreaking sort of journalism articles and so on as well. Plus, we've also got a devotion to investigative journalism. Is an obit for Pat Booth, who was probably the best investigative journalist we've ever had in New Zealand. So it's a nice addition to have out.
Lovely, yeah, that's great. And is that right that did you have copies for us?
That's right, yes.
Brilliant.
We've brought them in for you.
So that's great. Can't wait to read them. So thank you so much, David and Rahul. It's been lovely having you here with us today.
Great, thanks a lot, Jamal.
Thank you very much. So right now you're listening to 95BFM, and we'll be back after a short break. Here is I Love My Boyfriend by Princess Chelsea.
That was the Southern Cross.